This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, I'm Sharad Kutin, with me, Tan Chung Han. And of course, we have in our crosshairs the top business stories of the day. We're looking to Washington, D.C. and Donald Trump, whose troubles, I mean, he says his troubles are the greatest ever seen in American history. He's the victim of a witch hunt.
Right.
And of course, he's getting on his broom and heading for an 8-day tour of the world. First stop, Saudi Arabia.
All right, yeah, so we're going to turn our eyes to Saudi Arabia because, yeah, you know, like you said, Donald Trump will be there, and they even have this official countdown clock. How about this? So in exactly 16 hours, 23 minutes and 6 seconds, you know, President Donald Trump is expected to be there at the Arab-Islamic American Summit. It's going to be apparently quite the affair. You've got an exhibition of classic American cars, sports matches, and also concerts in Riyadh. But obviously, you know, we being the very matured and more analytical, you know, folks that we are, we will look past all the, you know,
the hoopla
and look at the deals that are supposed to be signed and the policies.
It's interesting that you mentioned that. I'm surprised to hear that list of events that are going to be surrounding his visit. Well, think of the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia being rather conservative. I mean, what kind of concerts could we expect in Riyadh?
No details. All I have is classic American cars, sports matches, and concerts.
Okay. That's classic American cars, you can sell. You can, in fact.
Okay.
Coming back to we move beyond the woes that Donald Trump is suffering, though it is troubling, I think, the markets insofar as it does seem to be losing hold on Capitol Hill, right? I mean, his support in Congress is necessary to push his legislative agenda along. So that's clear. And the Republicans, insofar as their concerns about the deepening crisis within the White House means that they might, in fact, be distracted from that legislative agenda, does have markets rankled a bit because they're not quite sure how to price in all this uncertainty.
Well, and that was a question that we posed to Eric Mueller of BlackRock just after the 7 a.m. news, talking about, you know, given how President Trump seems to be losing traction on the domestic front, you know, will this be a breather for him, you know, and maybe try to, you know, work on his foreign policies and try to get more traction on the foreign front. At least, you know, here are some things to look forward to. For example, you got Aramco. They apparently plan to sign at least 10 energy deals involving the likes of General Electric and Schlumberger and also various other big energy players, right? So you have that to potentially look forward to. Now, at the same time, you know, understanding the context for this trip as well, because if you recall back in, I think recently, you got Saudi Arabia planning to boost U.S. ties with an investment worth about $40 billion U.S. dollars into Trump's infrastructure agenda. Now, so you have that going on, and it certainly is an about turn, compared to the ties that Saudi Arabia and former President Barack Obama enjoyed, right? And when you have Saudi Arabia basically labeling Donald Trump as a true friend of Muslims, you know, that really sets the tone for this weekend's meetings.
I mean, the kingdom itself is fascinating because it's going to a transition. It's trying to wean itself off the oil economy. It's trying to diversify its economy. It's trying to reform its civil service, and the leadership issues as well that are in the transition in the kingdom as well, you know. So I think a lot of focus is going to be not just on the deals between the U.S. and the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, but also what is Saudi Arabia as an entity and how stable is it? You know, what is its own aspirations going forward?
You're right, and to attach a number to that, it's $2 trillion. That's how much they're dedicating towards basically revamping the Saudi Arabian economy. So it's no longer being so dependent on oil and gas, given the painful lessons that they and also other oil-producing countries, you know, Malaysia included, you know, all the lessons that we have learned, given that, you know, massive downturn in the oil and gas sector, you know, essentially since 2014. So, you know, you have these kind of deals going on, and they're more investment-led as well. You saw how Saudi Arabia Arabia, you know, on their trip around Asia. You know, King Salman, you know, he went about on this investment spree as well. You know, diversification is certainly a key part of, of that agenda. And having you know, those closer ties with the U.S. right now, given that infrastructure plans or those infrastructure plans, you know, that could play a key role in, you know, expanding not just Saudi Arabia's soft power on the global stage, but also, you know, moving along their agenda to reform their economy.
I mean, talking about soft power, the flip side, of course, is military might. And we're seeing also resurgence in terms of how Saudi Arabia deals with its regional rivals, in this case, Iran. And here, Iran, the position that Saudi Arabia has on Iran is gelling with that of the U.S. So U.S. basically seeing Iran as a hostile power within the region with regional ambitions, wanting to push back. And we already have that really vicious war, often not spoken about, in Malaysia, which in Yemen, right? So there's a terrible war going on in Yemen now, led by Saudi Arabia. And what more on that front?
Yeah, you know, well, at least you've got Saudi Arabia and the U.S. sharing that common enemy, right, so to speak, that being Iran. But at the same time, like, just kind of broadening it out to the Middle Eastern context as a whole, because there's still plenty of doubt about, you know, who this President Trump will really be, you know, when speaking on their home soil. Now, on one hand, you have some really overt positive statements coming out of Saudi Arabia, you know, again, calling Trump a true friend to Muslims. But, you know, whether or not we will see that pragmatic Trump versus, you know, the Trump that was on the campaign trails, where he basically used really broad and damaging statements against Middle Eastern economies. So you got the likes of Egyptian President Abdel Fattah el-Sisi, you know. Now, on one hand, he wasn't welcomed under Obama, but still, you know, those restrictions from his the Obama administration still remain. Whether Trump will pay enough attention to Egypt, for example, that's also going to be another question, you know, over these next few days. You look at Turkey as well, right, with Erdogan, you know. So now, on one hand, he got the nice phone call from Trump, you know, after winning the referendum. But again, there are objections and challenges, you know, on that front as well. So now, while Saudi Arabia and President Trump, you know, the current White House administration, they enjoy some pretty rosy relations. But whether that will translate into, you know, more positive ties with the Middle East as a whole, I think that's a question that we'll you know, hopefully find out some answers to over the next few days.
There also, because what the Saudis want from America and Donald Trump, apparently they're looking for a reversal of legislation that allows families of the 9/11 event to sue countries for their role in the attacks. And Saudi Arabia is concerned that they might be caught up in that.
Yeah, because I think many of the 9/11 attackers were actually from Saudi Arabia. You know? So this was, I think this ruling was made back in September last year. You know, so whether or not these kind of, you know, these kind of legislations and also regulations, you know, not just against Saudi Arabia, but like I mentioned earlier, you know, Egypt, Turkey, and etc., whether those will be overturn. Now, to put it really, really simply, it's action over words, right? So we'll see whether there's enough action coming out of Trump during his visit to the Middle East.
Okay, we'll be back with more business news after this at BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.